Well, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be with you again and have this occasion to preach God's Word here at Fairlawn. And I just so thankful for the beautiful music this morning, as we have every Sunday. There's a beautiful Christ-centered music, and we thank God so much for that. And now, this morning, our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. And we're reading verses 1 to 13. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Now this morning I want to bring a message on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his birth here in, as we've read, in Bethlehem. But I also want to speak later on in the message as well as to the second coming of Jesus Christ, of which much is written in Scripture as well. But we start here with the visit of the Magi. This was told about by the prophets of old. In the book of Micah, the Scripture says, in Micah it says that Jesus would come and he would be born here in Bethlehem. And this message was given to the people at that time, 8 centuries before Jesus came. 800 years this was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. And these wise men were out and they saw the stars. And they were seeking the King of the Jews. And they said, "We have seen a star in the east." And they recognized the star and they believed that God had sent this star, was special, that was going to lead them to find the Messiah. Now, stars were recognized as signs and warnings probably at that time. This would seem probably strange to us. We have all kinds of communication today. We have the printed page and we have radios and television and computers, all kinds of different things. So when something happens in the world today, maybe in China or the Orient or someplace in Africa, within a short amount of time, maybe hours, whatever it may be, it's known all over the world as to what this thing that has happened. Well, of course, nothing of that would even have been imagined at this time. And so it was oral communication, And even the scriptures. They had the scriptures certainly in the temple that were handwritten, and the priests, and they had those. But the common people having scriptures? No. Nobody had scriptures of the common people. So they had heard and they believed this was going to come, and they believed that this was a star, and they went. And Herod sent them to go and to find this Jesus in Bethlehem. And in verse 3, it says there that when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where Christ was to be born. And he sent them, and he told them, go and find this child, and return and tell me, that I may worship him also. Now, obviously, that was not Herod's intention by any means. For there was only one king, and he was the king, and no other person was to be king. And it was his purpose, once they would brought him back the report, that he would go and kill the child, which he did, as you know, 2 years later, when he killed all the children under 2 years of age there in Jerusalem. So the wise men went, and they went there to Bethlehem, and they arrived there and said that they bowed down and they worshipped him. And before they went, they knew they were going to see the Messiah that was promised of old. God was coming in this person of the Messiah, Jesus. And so they prepared with them gifts. Expensive gifts, beautiful gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they bowed down before him, and they presented these gifts to him. And it said their hearts were overjoyed when they saw the little child with Mary and Joseph. Here we are 2,000 years later. We have knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have plentiful Bibles. Most of us have numerous editions of the Bibles in our homes, Bibles in our pews, Bibles everywhere. The Word of God is with us. And we thank God for that. We have so many treasures, so many accesses to God's Word and music, beautiful music. We've had all of these things. What do we bring? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. That's our reasonable service with all that God has done for us. And given to us. And for us, as we sit here today with other believers all over the world, as meeting together in various places this very day, in all from cathedrals and magnificent churches to little huts. I remember when I was down in Haiti, and also at a time when I was in Jamaica, we'd go out and see the churches of faithful Christians about the size of your garage, your two-car garage. Or a little hut, no windows, they'd have windows, there was no glass in them or anything. This was a little place where they were meeting and serving God in those places. And so this is what we offer to our Lord, ourselves, and all that we have that we might serve him and glorify him with our lives. Now God speaks to us through his word primarily, but he also speaks to us through circumstances, through other people's counsel, in a variety of different ways, he reveals himself to us. Well, here, in this story of the Magi, it said that they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. God spoke to them in this way, through a dream that they had. Don't go back to Herod. Go home another way and don't report to Herod. Now, I don't say that we should It's not depending upon dreams. We have the Word of God. We have God's counsel. But sometimes I know in my life, I've had a dream of sometimes, then wake up in the morning and I start thinking, what was that all about? And it had a spiritual dimension to what I started to pray. I'd pray about it. Say, Lord, are you telling me something? They're telling me something. And so then also there was another dream where Mary and Joseph had a dream. And God told them not to go back to their home, Nazareth, because Herod was going to kill the child, but rather to go to Egypt for a period of 2 years and to remain there until the Lord would speak to them and say, bring the child back and return to Nazareth, to go to Nazareth. Spoke to them in a dream as well. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. He says, I give it up willingly. And he gave up his life willingly on the cross of Calvary, where he died and shed his blood to take away our sins and give us eternal life. All those called to eternal life on the cross of Calvary. On the day and appointed for him. And no one could interfere with that or cause anything to happen until that particular day when it was God ordained from before the foundation of the world. And may I say to you and to me also that God has ordained our path as well. And he's prepared a way for us and prepared things that will take place in our lives, which is God's will for us, that he reveals to us in various ways as we follow him and look to him through prayer and the scriptures to guide us in the way that we ought to go. I'll just give a little brief testimony here just for a minute. And I didn't plan to say this, but I will anyway, since the Lord has led me to say it, maybe. When I was a young man, I was in college, in high school, various kinds of things and so on. And as I look back on it, I often found myself in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then I was working for a man who, as I was a salesman and my sales manager, was a committed Christian. And he began to witness to me about the Lord and speak about the Lord and so on. And after a period of time, I came to believe and put my faith and trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. From that time on, as I look back, on most occasions, I've been in the right place at the right time. That's what God does in our lives. He directs us. He guides us. The scripture says, Jesus says to himself, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. And when we come to faith in Christ, or if we're backslidden, we confess our sins and we restore to fellowship, we have the light of God guiding us. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now consider in your lives how God gave you knowledge to be in the right place at the right time. Also, how many times did he protect you from making wrong decisions, maybe hurtful to you and others? When you see Jesus in your life, you take a different direction. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I believe certainly with all of us here, we could give testimony to that being lived out in our very lives. That being in Christ, we're new creations. Those old things passed, everything has become new. And that's my testimony to you here this very day in my life. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for everything he did. The light of God guides. The Holy Spirit dwells in every Christian believer and be with us until we are called to heaven to stand before the face of Jesus, which is joy forevermore, and to meet our loved ones who have gone on before. Fix your eyes on Jesus now and forever. Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Where he ever lives to make intercession for us. We pray. Our hearts are broken. Maybe we're glad and happy. Whatever it may be, at the various situations in our life, God knows. And he's there to comfort us and to help us to get through those various situations we find ourselves in, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. For us. Now, that is the coming of the Lord at Bethlehem. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have beheld his glory as the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. And that same Jesus, who lived as a human being, he was 2 years old and 12 years old and 20 years old and 25 years old and whatever. And there's things to talk about in the Gospels about his life there in Nazareth and various things that happened and so on. But he was like us. He was human in every way. So he knows what it is. And he knows the things that we go through and things that we've experienced. He experienced. He experienced. And so he is compassionate. And he shows his kindness and his love to us as we call upon him. Now, Jesus, after his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us, and one day he will return. And so as we speak about his birth today, I want to speak a bit this morning as well about his return. Jesus said he will return one day in power and great glory. And much is written in the scriptures regarding this. And as I was preparing for the message this morning, I went through these scriptures and I was in the Gospel of Matthew. Well, there was so much about this that I was going through. But let me just say also regarding my own personal testimony. The man that was speaking to me about the Lord, I remember one day, it was the day that Robert Kennedy was assassinated in the evening as he was there in that after the convention speech and so on, he died. And so the next day we were out making sales calls and we're having lunch together and I spoke to him and I said, this is staggering that these things are happening. And then he spoke about things that are going to happen towards the end of the age and how we ought to be ready. And there'll be signs and wonders. And he spoke about these things. And he's telling about, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says this. In the Gospel of Luke, it says this. And this, the Revelation says this. He was talking to a man who never had a personal Bible at that time. Speaking of myself. I never had a personal Bible. We went to church every Sunday and we heard someone else read the scriptures and so on. We never had a personal Bible. So I was home that evening and I was resting there. And I was thinking about it all, and I said, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know where he gets all that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And it was the Holy Spirit. I heard that voice, our dream. I heard that voice. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never read the four Gospels once, even though I was brought up in the church. You don't know what you're talking about. And I says, you're right. I've never even read the four Gospels. I don't even have a personal Bible. We have a large Bible like this one on the pulpit here, this great big one here, in our living room. But nobody ever read it. And Mom would dust it off periodically and turn the page. But that's about as much attention as the Bible got in our home, other than Christmas and the Holy Week services. We're familiar with those, of course, but we didn't know. And so when the Lord spoke to me that way, I went out and I says, I've got to read this. And I bought my first Bible and I read the four Gospels. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And he says, what the man's saying is true. And other things happen, but basically, God says, are you ready? If you were to die today, would you go to be with Jesus? And I said, no, I would not. And I began to pray. Well, God worked. And from that reading the first Bible, I read the four Gospels. Of course, I read all the entire New Testament. Then I did something further that probably none of you would suggest for somebody so new coming to the faith. I read the book of Revelation. Most of it I didn't understand. But there was a great amount of that, my dear friends, that was abundantly clear. And I knew exactly what it was saying. And I knew that I was not ready to meet Christ. I was lost. And they had other names for it in Revelation. But I fell into that category. And I basically said, what must I do to be saved? And the rest is history. 43 years ago. Now, we write that I read the scriptures, Matthew 24. If you have a red letter edition Bible at home, many of you don't have to by any means, but a red letter, I was going over one. Three pages. The entire text is all red. Jesus speaking about his return. It says Jesus left the temple. He was walking away and his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. No one, not one stone here will be left on another until everyone is thrown down. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now that was four verses. And you proceed through there and there's a total of 47 verses, all in red letters, where Jesus answered that question. And Jesus answered that question for me when I needed to hear it. 47 verses. I would say also that here in our own Heidelberg confession, right here in the pews, it is Article 52 that speaks of the return of Jesus Christ in power and great glory. Is in every confession of faith. All of the Christian groups, wherever they happen to be, would attest to the fact that Jesus Christ will one day return. And then we go further in the book, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. There, 38 verses, Jesus explaining to the disciples regarding the return of the Lord. But then again, in the Gospel of Matthew, I meant to mention, after the text there on Matthew 24, he goes into the parables. And the next chapter has 46 verses telling you about parables. There's the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in all those parables, there are those who were ready. There was the sheep and there was the goats. There were those who were ready to meet Jesus Christ. And there were those who were not. There was the talents. And then there was the one about the sheep and the goats. And Jesus explained all there who qualified in each of those categories. It's all right there in the scriptures. Are we ready to meet the Savior? We're here to return at any time. I was looking for him to come return in 2014. Maybe he will yet in these remaining 4 days. But if not, I'm looking for that time. The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in that Gospel of Luke, with 38 verses, another one is all throughout the epistles of the Apostle Paul. He mentions them in all of his epistles, and some more than others. But I think here in his second epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, he speaks to the apostles there, and he's speaking about his return. And he says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days, the Apostle Paul says. And he lists there 18 sins, 18 things that will be prevalent in the last days. Let me read them for you. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power, have nothing to do with them. Paul tells Timothy, 18 things there. My dear friends, if you look at a Sunday paper, you see it all. Any paper. Turn on the news. You see these things happening in abundance in our culture. Our eyes are to look up and say, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us. There's one here I always remember, and I've used it many times. In some of the churches I've served in through the years, they had Christian schools. And I would go and have chapel there at the school. And there might be elementary school. Some of them had a high school and so on. But I would go there, and I'd give a message to the children. And I'd take this 2 Timothy 3, and I'd read these different things here. And I'd tell them, I said, that's a very bad list. Oh, yes, they'd look, their eyes would be open. You know, that's scary. All those things are scary. Yes, indeed. But right there in the middle, I think it's the sixth one, disobedient to their parents. Disobedient to parents. What's the big deal about that? Everybody's been disobedient to their parents excepting Jesus. We're all disobedient to parents. Yes. But it's not God's will. And the commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's God's will that children be obedient to their parents. And yet, it seems such a trivial thing. But it's the commandment of the Lord. And in Jesus speaking about all of these things that are coming in the last days, that says that the last days come closer, there'll be more and more evidence of all of these happening, including disobedient parents. And the children's little eyes, you know, they'd be looking at me with a kind of a dazed look when I would say that. And then I'd go on and take a little questions from them so that they'd understand in that little group that I would have there with the children. Now, also, as we have the epistles of Peter, Paul, and John, and then in the book of Revelation as well, is there many, many things that are spoken about the Lord's return, about the Lord's return. And I wanted to give you this morning, that as we complete this year, we're thankful for all that God has done for us. We thank for His guidance, His direction, and for that help that He's going to give us in whatever situation we come upon in the coming year. He will help us as we pray and as we trust Him. And we receive wise and godly counsel from fellow Christians to help us to get through whatever situation we come upon. But knowing that at a particular time, God is going to take us to be with Him in heaven, to behold the face of Jesus forevermore. Hold the face of Jesus forevermore. Oh, my brothers and sisters, may we rest in Him, and may we go forth in this new year, 2016, with confidence that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the lover of our souls, will guide us and direct us in the way that we ought to go and protect us from all evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your word, which gives us instructions in so many things regarding our lives and how, as we love you and trust you, we follow you. The light of your word directs our way. And Lord, you're the light of the world. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for all those who are gathered here today. Pray that you'll help them hear their prayer regarding matters particular to them, Lord. Hear their prayer and answer. And may we have that confidence that you hear us. You give us those things that are best for us. And your heart knows with our heart what we are pained about and what we suffer about. Lord, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we pray for the various families here. Lord, we just ask that you'd continue to give them beautiful times of family togetherness, Christmas and this New Year time coming up, and that they will have a confidence in answered prayer as they bring their petitions before you, that even in these upcoming months, weeks, whatever it may be, you'll hear and answer the prayers that they bring before you on a particular basis. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you through the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.